And we're holding Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. And Mishnah says, Mishlech Chag B'yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. If a person did not bring his Chagiga, and actually Meiri points out, really, I mean, this applies to the Oilas Ru'iyah as well, but since the Masechta is Chagiga, then we're focusing on that. So a person who didn't bring his Chagiga on the first day of Yom Tov, Chag Yigas Kol HaRegel, he can continue to bring it any time during the entire Yom Tov. The Yom Tov Achon Shel Chag, as well as the day, as well as when it comes to Sukkos, he can bring it also on Shmini Atzeres. Usually we say Shmini Atzeres is regal b'fnei atzmo. It's a Yom Tov of its own for a number of different purposes. We say a different nusach and davening on it. The korbanos of it are not a continuation of the ones of Sukkos, but rather a different order, and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, in terms as we're going to see in the Gemara, as far as tashlumin for Chagiga, it still counts as an extension of Sukkos. Continues the Mishnah. Over harego v'loy chog. If the entire Yom Tov passed and he did not bring his chagiga, ain't a chayev b'achriyosay, then he's not chayev to make up the korban. In other words, now ain't a chayev b'achriyosay actually is an interesting expression. It means that if the animal dies or gets lost or what have you, he doesn't have to make up a different one. So what it means is actually, in this case, if he has an animal that he designated as a chagiga, which after all, a chagiga is a type of shlamim, then he's going to have to bring that animal at some point. So even if he didn't bring it during Yom Tov, he still has to bring it after Yom Tov. He just won't be yotze to the mitzvah of chagiga with it. What we mean is, if in addition, after Yom Tov, the animal got lost or stolen or what have you, then he doesn't have to make it up. But to bring the actual animal, that he would have to, just not on the grounds of Chagiga, he's missed that opportunity, but on the grounds of that he designated it for a korban. So the Mishnah continues, Al Zen Namar, this is the kind of thing that it describes in the Pasuk in Kehelas, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskein, a crooked thing cannot be made straight, cannot be fixed up, v'chesron lo yuchal lihimonis, and something lacking cannot be counted. In other words, he missed his chance. He can never make that up to actually bring that chagiga because he missed doing it throughout the entire Yom Tov. So now the Mishnah digresses and talks about a couple of other explanations of that pasuk. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, you know? Reb Shimon ben Manasseh says, now he's not disagreeing that the case of a person not bringing his chagiga is mu'uvas l'yuchal liskan, but he gives another example. What is an example of something crooked that can't be made straight that the pasuk is describing? Zeha bo'ala erva, that can refer also to somebody who has relations with an erva, as we're going to learn in a few weeks in Yevamos, Bez Hashem. We're going to be starting Seder Noshim. We're going to talk extensively about Arayas. V'holed mimeno mamzer, and he fathered with her a mamzer. The mamzer, therefore, is still alive over there. So therefore, even he does tshuva, so his aveda doesn't really get completely erased. There's still a result of his aveda living there in the world. And the Mishnah says, im tamim begoinu begozel, so you can't say it's referring to somebody who steals or robs, because yochol hulach zire v'yisakin, he could return the money of the object, and that'll fix up, and that cleans up his aveda completely. Okay, you also have to ask mechila from the other guy, but still, there is a way to do that. Tosfos points out, what about a ritzeach? So what about a ritzeach? Okay, it's true, you can't bring back alive the person that he killed. On the other hand, you don't have that the evidence of it right there blatantly in front of him, like the way you have with Beholid Mamzer. As far as Tosfos says the same thing with Gazlan. Now, what kind of Gazlan are we talking about? A regular Gazlan, the Mishnah is saying you return the money and that's that. So on the side over here, there's a footnote. There's a note that we're talking about over here, somebody who was Gozel as a rabbin. If somebody stole from many different people, he doesn't know who he can return it to. So his tshuva, it's hard for his tshuva to be complete because he can't return individually to all the people but he stole from. Nevertheless, as true as that is, in other words, suppose was saying, it's true there are other Averis where the effects of them can't be undone, but only by this Habala Erev, a Holy Men of Mamzer, do you have the evidence of it right there blatantly in front of you, that that always being the evidence of the Aveda that the person did, as opposed to these other cases, Retzeach at Gozel, meaning Gozel Sarabim, at least you don't have that right there in everybody's face. There is, by the way, there is in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe mentions this point about the contrast, the difference over there between Arayas versus Motzi Zerul Batala, where as bad as Motzi Zerul Batala is, at least a person is able to do tshuva and that cleans it up completely. Whereas with Arayas, there can be, like we're saying over here, V'holi Menu Ben, and then it's Mu'uvatla Yocholiska. However, you have the famous story involving the Mittel Rebbe, involving the Alter Rebbe and the Mittel Rebbe with one of his chassidim, Rabbi Yosef of Vashenkovich. It's a long story, but the gist of it is that this Rabbi Yosef, even though he's a tremendous Talmid Chacham, had been told to become a Balagola by the Alter Rebbe, and eventually, many years later, in his job as Balagola, he ended up helping a Yid who was completely off the derech. He helped him do tshuva. This Yid had been married to a Goita and had a couple of kids with her, and part of it was he did tremendous tshuva that the Eivishter arranged that the wife and the children ended up getting into an accident and drowning. So even though there was Vaholid Men of Bain, but he was able to completely clean it up. Later on, it says the Mittel Rebbe in particular wrote the Sefer for Keach Ivrim for this Yid, the Baal Tshuva, to teach him the right way in Avodah. Anyway, but Rav Shimon Manasseh is talking about under ordinary circumstances where the Mamzer is still alive over there, and in fact, it's going to continue in later generations too, because the children of a Mamzer, as we're going to learn in Yevamos, are also Mamzerim. So that's the Lo Yochalisko. And the Mishnah brings a third possibility, Rav Shimon Yecholim. Ain koden ma'uvas, when you say the word ma'uvas, which implies crooked, which implies messed up, that would mean elo lemishoy mesukan betchilav enes avas. The implication is you're talking about somebody who originally was straight, originally was doing correctly, and then went bad. The ezer, so Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, so what would that be talking about? Zeh tamid chacham ha'porish min ha'Torah. It refers to a tamid chacham who goes away from learning Torah, so even when he comes to do tshuva, he'll do tshuva fine, but he's still going to be behind where he would have been otherwise without that, if he hadn't gone off the derech in the first place. We have, for example, the famous story involving Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch, where he one of the great talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, in certain aspects the greatest of them, but he went off to live in a city by himself, a city of pleasures, a spa town, rather than going to Yavne to learn with his chachamim, and eventually he forgot all the Torah that he had learned. And even when the Gemara tells the story, and it tells that his chaverim, when they found out about it, they daven that it should be restored. But nevertheless, he still never became one of the great chachamim again. We see he's very rarely mentioned in Shas. So that's what Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is saying. That's the Ma'uvas Lo Yochal Liskon, when he was Tamid Chacham, who went away from the Torah. Even when he returns, it's going to be very difficult for him to catch up to where he would have been otherwise. So the Gemara starts off, Menohani Mili. This that we said in the Mishnah, that if you didn't bring your Chagiga the first day of Yom Tov, you have the entire Yom Tov, and in particular with Sukkot, you have Shmini Atzeres as well. Where do we know that from? So Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shmuel, I like this. We have Gzeira Shava. Nemar Atzeres B'Shvi Shal Pesach. When it comes to Shvi Shal Pesach, the Pasuk describes it in Parashas Re'eh as Atzeres, V'Yem HaShvi Atzeres. Of Nemar Atzeres, B'Shmini Shochag. Shmini Atzeres is also called Atzeres. V'Yem HaShmini Atzeres T'Yelochem. Malahalon Tashlomen, Avkan Tashlomen. Therefore, we learn from that just like Shvi Shal Pesach can be Tashlomen for the days before it, and it's logical that it would be, because after all, Shvi Shal Pesach is not, even though Shvi Shal Pesach is a Yom Tov, it's a direct continuation of the days before it. Unlike Shmini Atzeres, it's not considered a Yom Tov of its own. It's just a continuation of the Yom Tov, which is why, for example, we don't say Shechyonu on it, and we only say Chatzi Halal on it. So just like Shvi Shal Pesach can be Tashlumin for the days before it, Afkan Tashlumin, the same way Shmini Atzeres can be Tashlumin for the days of Yom Tov that are before it, even though it's considered a separate Yom Tov. Tosfos discusses there are a couple of other limudim that the Yerushalmi brings how to learn this. An interesting side point in this, by the way, is there's a mimer of the Alter Rebbe. There's a brief mention of it in a mimer in Torah Ur and in the Kutta Torah rather, and then there's a more extensive mimer of the Alter Rebbe on the subject of the theme of the mimer is why don't we bring Shalmei Simcha on Shvi Shal Pesach, and the Alter Rebbe develops the idea that Shvi Shal Pesach is a time higher than eating and drinking, therefore you don't bring a Shalmei Chagiga. Now, the obvious question is, our Mishnah and our Gemara are telling us that you could bring them on Shvi Shal Pesach. So the Tzemach Tzedek writes on Tzorich Iyun, the Divrei Nechemia, who was a goyin, he was married to a granddaughter of the Alter Rebbe, and he was a goyin in the times of the Tzemach Tzedek. So he discusses this. So he says it must be a mistake. How could the Alter Rebbe? It must be that somebody wrote this mistakenly in the Alter Rebbe's name. How could the Alter Rebbe have said such a thing when it goes clearly against the Mishnah and the Gemara over here? So there's a sicha from Tavshin Chav Dalet where the Rebbe discusses this Achon Shal Pesach and says, no, you know, it's one thing if it was one line in a mimer, but it's a whole mimer built on that. Hard to say that it was a Talmud Torah. So rather, the Rebbe develops the idea that no, what the Alter Rebbe means is not that you don't bring them on Shvi Shal Pesach, but rather that you don't bring them on Shvi Shal Pesach as an independent thing. If you're bringing your Chagiga on Shvi Shal Pesach, or your Shalmei Simcha for that matter, it's only as a continuation of the days of Yom Tov before it. As opposed to with Shmini Atzeres, now here, when we're saying that Shmini Atzeres that Shmini Atzeres is Tashlumin for the days before, there you actually have a Machlokas Rishonim. What does that mean? The fact is that Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov of its own. So the Ramban, among others, says that means it's true that as our Mishnah and Gemara are saying, if you didn't bring your Chagiga one of the previous 7 days of Sukkot, then you can bring it today. But unlike, for example, we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, that all the other days of Chol HaMoed, we're going to say, or Tashlumin L'Rishon, meaning you have a chiyuv on the first day, and if you didn't do it on the first day, then you have the second, third, fourth, etc. Shmini Atzeres is not really like that. Shmini Atzeres has a certain independent chiyuv of its own by virtue of the fact that it's a Yom Tov of its own. So if you brought your Chagiga sometime earlier during Yom Tov, then fine, that exempts you from bringing it on Shmini Atzeres as well. But otherwise, when you bring it on, if you end up bringing it on Shmini Atzeres, the Ramban says it's an independent Chiyuv because it's a Yom Tov. So the Rebbe discusses in the Sicha that that may be what the Alter Rebbe meant in those Maimonides.
We should say Shechiyanu, then it's a separate Yom Tov. Why don't we say Shechiyanu?
On Shmini Atzeres, we most certainly do say Shechiyanu. Absolutely. On Shvi Shal Pesach, we don't. But that's the thing. Shvi Shal Pesach is not a separate Yom Tov. It's a continuation of the days before. So Baruch Nius, the Alter Rebbe discusses that. Then either I misspoke or you misunderstood. Shvi Shal Pesach, we don't say Shechiyanu because it's a continuation of the rest of the Yom Tov. It's not a separate Yom Tov. Therefore, we don't say Shechiyanu on it. Shmini Atzeres is a Yom Tov of its own for a number of different purposes, one of them being that we say Shechiyonu on it. So now that Ramban learns that in addition, that Shmini Atzeres is also a Yom Tov of its own in the sense that if you didn't bring your Chagiga any time on the previous days of Yom Tov, then it's actually an independent obligation on Shmini Atzeres, not just a continuation of the previous day. So that point about it being a separate Chiyuv, we'll talk about in the Gemara, we'll talk about the relevant Gemara about that soon. But anyway, so right now we're saying that Shvi Shal Pesach is, you have the entire 7 days of Pesach to bring your Chagiga, the same way with Sukkot, because of the Gzeira Shavah from the word Atzeres, therefore you have not only the 7 days of Sukkot, but also Shmini Atzeres. So the Gemara points out, Mufna, you have to say that this Gzeira Shavah is Mufna, that the word, that one or both of the words Atzeres that we're using for the Gzeira Shavah is not necessary for the simple meaning of the Pasuk. Because the Ilav Mufna, because if it's not Mufna, if you say that in each Pasuk you need the word Atzeres for the simple meaning of the Pasuk, but in addition we want to use it for Gzeira Shavah, wouldn't work. Ikka the Mifrach, you could shlug it up. Mal Shvi Shal Pesach Shekein Eni Cholok Mishalafano. How do you compare? Shvi Shal Pesach is not different than the days before it. Like we just said, it's a continuation of the Yom Tov. You don't say Shechiyanu on it. You don't even say full Hallel on it. Toma b'Shmini Shal Chag Shecholok Mishalafanav. How can you compare to Shmini Atzeres, which is different than the days before it? The Gemara brings in several different places in Shas We had it in Sukkah, and we had it in other places about the acronym Pazar Keshav, about six different ways in which Shmini Atzeres is a unique Yom Tov of its own. We had it in Yuma and in Sukkah and in Rosh Hashanah. So if the Gzeira Shava is not Mufna, then you would say it's not a valid Gzeira Shava, because Shmini Atzeres is much different than Shvi Shal Pesach, precisely because it's a separate Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Loyi, indeed, Afnuye Mufna. As a matter of fact, yes, the Gzeira Shava is Mufna, because Mechti Mai Atzeres, after all, what does the word Atzeres mean? Osur Basias means Otsur Basias Malacha. Atzeres literally means holding back. So it means you're held back, you're withheld from doing malacha on that day. Well, you don't need the word atzeres to do that. Hoksiv loy sasa malacha. The very same pasuk that calls Shvi Shal Pesach atzeres continues loy sasa malacha. Don't do malacha on it. Therefore, atzeres tekosiv rachman olamali. So there's no need in and of itself for the Torah to write the word atzeres. The pasuk would have read fine without it. So ela shmami no lafnuye. So therefore, it means that word atzeres is mufna. And therefore, now the rule is, the rule is, when you have a Gzeira Shava, that's Mufna, then you cannot slug it up even with logical arguments, like we just said, that Shvi Shal Pesach and Shmini Atzeres are different. Mind you, there is a machlokas in a few places in Shas, whether it has to be Mufna Mitzad Echad, or whether it's enough for that purpose for it to be Mufna Mitzad Echad, or whether in order to not slug it up, you need Mufna Mishnei Tzadin. Maybe you need, there's an opinion that says that in order to not slog up the Gzeira Shava, you need that both words that go into it are Mufna. Now here we establish that the one by Shvi Shal Pesach is Mufna. We haven't established that the one by Shmini Atzeres is Mufna. So one explanation, I think the Turei Evan says, in fact, we're talking over here according to Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel holds that Mufna Mitzad Echad is good enough for our purposes. So therefore, we don't care whether it's Mufna from the other side. Once it's Mufna from one side, then that's enough already to have for it to be a valid Gzeira Shava. With that said, again, Tosfos points out that the Yerushalmi brings also from Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shmuel a couple of other limudim, how we know that you can make up for the korban on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, so now the Gemara itself points out the Tana Maisel Amahacha. Now, so we had Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shmuel saying this Gzeira Shava from the word Atzeres. So now a Tana and a Braisa learns this concept that you have Tashlumin. One interesting point is Rabbi Yochanan in the name of Rabbi Shmuel is giving us this Gzeira Shava, and that establishes that Shmini Atzeres is like Shvi Shal Pesach. We haven't really established, we kind of skipped over an important point, which is, well, how do we know by Pesach itself that you have the full 7 days? Maybe you daft have to bring the korban the first day, and that's that. So now, actually, the Braisa that we're going to quote now is actually going to address that point. And the point is, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, who's quoting him, may well agree with that. So he doesn't necessarily have to disagree with that. He's just saying that the second half of the Braisa that we're going to quote that says that you're able to do it on Shmini Atzeres, he says, I don't need the limud from that Braisa, I have a different one. But the basic fact that Pesach, you have all 7 days, he may well agree with the following Braisa that we're going to quote, how we learn that that's the case with Pesach. So Titania, Braisa says, V'chagoysim oisei chag la'ashem shivas yomim, the Pesach says, regarding Sukkot, that you should make a chag for Hashem for 7 days, and the word chag over here means the chagiga, which actually is a point that we're going to take back up on Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara is going to say how we know b'chlal that the word chag and chagoysa moisa and all these things actually means a korban. We'll get back to that point later on. But anyway, so chagoysa moisa chag v'Hashem shivas yomim means you bring a chagiga to Hashem for 7 days. So you would think that means that you can continue bringing chagigas. It means that you have to bring chagigas maybe throughout the 7 days. Maybe every day you have to bring a korban chagiga. No, Talmud Lomar oisoi. Therefore, the pasuk says v'chagoysem oisoi, and the word oisoi is a mute. Oisoi at the chagig. You only need to make a chagiga on one of the 7 days. V'i at the chagig kol shiva. You don't have to bring a chagiga the entire 7 days. You bring it one time during the 7 days, and that's good enough. Im kein loma nema shiva. So then why, if so, then why does it say shiva? It means that you can make it up. It means that you have 7 days to make it up. You didn't bring it the first day, you have the second day, etc. So far that teaches us that you have 7 days, and that applies to both Pesach and Sukkot. And again, as we said before, Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, may well agree with that, and therefore he can take it as a given that you have 7 days on Pesach, and we need a Gzeira Shava to extend that to tell us that Sukkot you have 8 days actually. And the Braisa continues, and we nayin shem lechag yom tov rishon shel chag. Now, how do we know that if the person did not bring the? Sorry, I skipped the line. Yeah, no, I did. And we nayin shem lechag yom tov rishon shel chag shechogu v'holachas tol regel the yom tov acharon. Now, how do we know that if the person did not, that on Sukkot, if the person did not bring the korban, he has not only the 7 days of Sukkot but also shmini atzeres. Therefore, that same pasuk continues. In the seventh month, you should bring that chagiga. Well, Shmini Atzeres is still part of the seventh month. It's still part of Tishrei. So therefore, you have that as well. But if we're learning from Bachodesh Hashvi, maybe it means you can bring your chagiga during the entire month. Maybe it means you can bring it on Isru Chag and the day after that. How do we know that it expires on Shmini Atzeres? Tavon Loimar, Oisai. Therefore, again, we use the word Oisai as a mute. Oisai at the Chagig, we at the Chagig Chutzaloi. You can only bring the Chagiga on the Yom Tov itself, but not beyond it. You have twice in the Pasuk where it says Oisai. The Chagosim Oisai Chag LaHashem, and it finishes off Bachodesh Hashvita Chagig Oisai. So the first Oisai is a mute that you only need to do it one time during Yom Tov, and the second Oisai is a mute that it does not extend past Shmini Atzeres. So that's another way of learning that you're able to bring the korban on Shmini Atzeres as well. Again, Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, says differently, and he learned it from the Gzeira Shava Atzeres Atzeres. Okay. Now, Umay Tashlumin. Now, when we say that you can bring the korban on any of the other days, what is the nature of that Tashlumin? Rabbi Yochanan Omar Tashlumin Larishin. So Rabbi Yochanan says it means that all of them are tashlumin for the first day. In other words, you have one day's chiyuv to bring it on the first day of Yom Tov. If you didn't, then you bring it the second, the third, the fourth, etc. But all of them are outgrowths of the fact that you had a chiyuv on the first day. Rabbi Oshia says that the various days of Yom Tov are each one a tashlumin for the previous one. In other words, he would say that the first day you have a chiyuv. If you didn't bring it the first day, then you. What it is like this: according to Rav Oshia, you have a chiyuv each of the days of Sukkot. All it is once you bring it during one of those days, then it takes away the chiyuv for the rest of the day. But you have an independent chiyuv on the first and on the second and on the third and so forth. So if you didn't bring your korban on this first, it's not only that on the second you're doing it as a makeup for the previous one. You have an independent chiyuv on that second day to bring it. So the Gemara says, "My binayu." So what the practical difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Oshia's opinions? Either way, you have 7 days during Pesach and 8 days during Sukkot to bring your korban, and according to both of them, you only have to bring it once. So what's the nafkamina? The answer is Amar Rav Zera, Chigur b'yem rishon v'nispashet b'yem sheni ikka b'nayhu. Suppose you have a person who was lame on the first day Yom Tov, and then he was healed on the second day of Yom Tov, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, that is, which we discussed that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, that a lame person, and we said even if he's only lame in one leg, is potter from Re'iyah and is potter from bringing a Chagiga. So now the question will be, is he chayev the rest of the Yom Tov? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tashlumin L'Rishon. Rabbi Yochanan will say that all of the other days are Tashlumin for the first, and therefore, Kivin V'Leichazi B'Rishon, Leichazi B'Sheni. Since he was not suitable to bring the korban on the first day, then he doesn't have any chiyuv to bring it on any of the other days either. All of the other days, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, the chiyuv on them is only an outgrowth of the first day. He was potter on the first day, therefore he's potter the rest of the days as well. Rabbi Oshia, on the other hand, is going to say that they're tashlumin for each other, so each day has its own independent chiyuv. Therefore, afagav lechazi b'rishon, chazi b'sheni. So fine, he may not have been suitable to bring the korban on the first day. He may not have been chayev on the first day, but now comes the second day. He has a new chiyuv on that day. Well, on that day, he's not lame anymore. Therefore, Rabbi Oshia is saying he will have to bring the korban. So now, a few things in that. First of all, Tosfos points out, when it comes to Shavuos, then there's no machloikas. Given that Shavuos is only one day, and the other days of Tashlomin after it are regular weekdays, just like from Gzeiras HaKosev, you have, because of a Hekesh with the other Yom Tovim, you have 7 days, then there's no question that when it comes to Shavuos, necessarily it's Tashlomin L'Rishon, Tosfos says. Because, come on, you can't very well say that a person has an independent Chiyuv to bring a Chagiga on a weekday. So therefore, it has to be Tashlom and L'Rishon. But the question is about Pesach and Sukkos. There is where the Ramban and other Rishonim disagree on the subject of that we talked about before. What about Shmini Atzeres? Do we say that Shmini Atzeres is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, do we say that Shmini Atzeres is also just Tashlom and L'Rishon, which would mean, again, that if the person was lame on the first day, then he's Potter. Then he's potter throughout all the rest of the days. He doesn't have a chiyu on Shmini Atzeres either, because Shmini Atzeres is only Tashlum and L'Rishon. Or would we say that Ramban, and I think the Ravid, and others say that no, that Shmini Atzeres, being a Yom Tov of its own, actually has a chiyu of Chagiga of its own. So granted, if you brought your Chagiga earlier during Yom Tov, you don't have to bring it on Shmini Atzeres, because you only have to bring it once. But nevertheless, if you didn't, and if the person was a Chigiv and a Spashit, if he was lame on the previous days, and now on Shmini Atzeres, he's healthy, and he's able to walk, then according to the Ramban, he would in fact be Chayiv in the Korban, even according to Rabbi Yochanan. So this is what we were saying before, what the Rebbe explains in a Sicha to explain the Alter Rebbe statement that on Shmini Atzeres you do have an independent chiyuv to bring the korban, as opposed to on Shvi Shapesach, where it's not an independent chiyuv, it's just an outgrowth of the days before, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that there's a Shlom and L'Rishon. Now, Tosfos points out, by the way, an interesting question. What about the other way around? What if the guy was healthy on the first day and then he became lame on the second day? We could say he was chayev on the first day. He didn't end up bringing his korban then. But now he's lame. He's potter from aliyah l'regel. On the other hand, because he had a chiyuv to begin with, maybe that chiyuv doesn't go away. Or maybe not. The fact is, right now, he's lame and he's not able to come to the Azara. So maybe he's not chayav to bring the korban. So getting back to the Gemara. So Rabbi Oshia is going to say that the days are tashlumin for one another. So even though he wasn't suitable on the first day, but he is suitable on the second day, so therefore the second day has an independent chiyuv, and therefore he's chayev to bring his korban then. Now, the question is, did Rabbi Yochanan really say that all of them are tashlumin l'rishon, and therefore if you were potter on the first day, then you're potter on all the other days? But we have a different case that Chizkiah talks about involving the korbanos of a nazir, where we're going to see from that Rabbi Yochanan does not hold that way. Now, the story is like this. We know that a nazir goes through his days of nazirus, and at the end of it, he brings korbanos, and if he becomes tamei during his nazirus, then he has to bring korbanos tumah, and he starts his nazirus over again. Now, what happens is, now you actually have a machloikas tanoim in Masecht and Nazir. What day does he start counting again? Does he start counting his Nazirus again on the seventh day, which is the last day that his Tuma is over, or the eighth day, which is the day that he can bring his Korbanos? A Rebbe holds the eighth day. Within that, you have a machloikas amiroyim. You have a machloikas between Chizkiah and Rabbi Yochanan. What happens if he became tamei again on the night of the eighth day? So he was a nazir. He became tamei mes. He went through his 7 days of tara. Now comes the night after that. Now his tumah is over. He's not tamei mes anymore. But now he can't yet bring his korbanos, because you don't bring korbanos at night. Now suppose he became tamei again. When he becomes tahor, is he going to have to bring two sets of korbanos tumah or only one set? So maybe only if he becomes tamei on the eighth day will he have to bring a new set of korbanos tumah. Balayla in a maybe, but if he became Tomei by night, the night going into the eighth day, then he does not have to bring a second set of Korbanos Tumah. Then he waits until he just waits until he's Tohar from Tumas Mess again. He waits another 7 days and he brings one set of Korbanos Tumah that covers both Tumas, and then he starts his Nazirus over again. Rabbi Yochanan, I'm a Balayla, Nami maybe. Rabbi Yochanan says that since already at this point by night he was Tohar, he had already gone through all the sprinkling of the Pot Aduma, and he had Tovold, and he had had a head of Shemesh, so now already he's Chayiv in the Korban. Okay, you can't bring a Korban at night, but the fact is he is already Chayiv in a Korban. Therefore, you can't say that the one set of Korbanos is going to pater the next Tumas Mess, because the next Tumas Mess happened after the first one completely expired and when he was Roy LeKorban. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan is saying that even though he became Tomei by night, we still say that even though he can't bring the korban at that point, there's Tashlumin by day. So in other words, we say that by night he can't bring the korban, but by day he could, and therefore by day he's going to bring the korbanos. So we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds that even though at the beginning a person is not shayach to a korban, but later on he can bring it as Tashlumin. So now, how can Rabbi Yochanan be saying that when it comes to the Chagiga, then it's not so, and if he's potter on the first day, then he's potter on all the other days? A number of Rishonim ask on Achronim actually ask on that. What's the comparison in the case of the Nazir Tomei? We're not saying it's not a matter of Tashlumin. I mean, every person goes through the nighttime and then the daytime, and the nighttime you can't bring korbanos. It's not the difference is over there. It's not that the person is not suitable to bring the korbanos. He would have been perfectly suitable. He's completely Tahor. But it's nighttime, and nighttime is not a time for korbanos. How on earth is not a comparison to a person who was lame on the first day of Yom Tov, where the obligation to bring a chagiga exists, but he himself is not roy? So for that reason, the Sfas Emes explains our Gemara differently, and he understands that actually the Rambam to be understanding this way also. That the proof we're bringing is not from the case of a Nazir at all, but rather from the very same case of chagiga. Suppose a person became Tomei on Yom Tov itself. Does he bring the korban? Does he bring the korban later on during the Yom Tov? So Chizkiah is going to say no, and Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that it doesn't matter when he became Tomei. Once he's Tahor, he can bring the korban. So then the question would be that Rabbi Yochanan is saying then that there is Tashlumin for one day to the next, meaning in other words, that even though he was Tomei on the first day, he still brings it the rest of the day. So why would he say differently by a lame person? So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shiny Tuma, being Tomei and having to push off the korban because of that is different. The Yeshla Tashlumin Repesach Sheni. We see that when it comes to Tuma, there is always a case of Tashlumin, namely a person with Tomei Pesach Rishon, they bring Pesach Sheni. So you can say that Tuma is a special case, a person with Tomei, but nevertheless, you can still say that there's Tashlumin afterwards. So according to Rashi and Tosfos' explanation, that we're talking about a Nozir Shenitma, fine, he has to bring Korbanos for his Tuma. Now he became Tomei again. So fine, the fact that he became Tomei again, Rabbi Yochanan is going to say that there is always Tashlumin, for that, just like there's Tashlumin from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni. According to the Sfas Emes' understanding, that we're talking about in connection with Chagiga, fine, the same way as the Korban Pesach has Tashlumin, the same way the Chagiga, if he became Tomei, has Tashlumin the rest of the day. That doesn't compare to the case Rabbi Yochanan was talking about, where a person was lame on the first day, and now he was healed on the next day, and now that he should be chayev to bring the korbanos, not necessarily. You don't ever find tashlumin for such a thing. But maskif lo rapapa. But rapapa asks on that. He says hanichalam under Omar Pesach Sheni tashlumin derishinu. That understanding works out well according to the opinion, which you have a machlokas on this in Pesachim. That Pesach Sheni is tashlumin of the first. Which is the opinion of Rav Nosson in the Gemara and Pesachim. So then, fine, you can say the same way as you have Tashlumin there by Tuma, the same way over here you have Tashlumin when the person was Tomei. El Alamando Amasheni Rego B'Pnei Atzmai, who, but according to the opinion of Rebbe over there, that Pesach Sheni is actually considered an independent Yom Tov. And in fact, the Tosfos points out, the Halacha is like Rebbe, so we would really rather be able to understand Rabbi Yochanan in terms of in terms of Rebbe's opinion, which is the halacha. So, and according to Rebbe, Pesach Sheni is a regel b'fnei atzmoi. The Gemara there in Pesachim explains, and nafkamina of that is, if a person was not chayiv in Pesach Rishon and is chayiv in Pesach Sheni. For example, a child or a person who was a child or a goy by Pesach Rishon, and now by Pesach Sheni he's an adult or he's a ger, does he have to bring Pesach Sheni or not? So if we say Sheni regel b'fnei atzmoi hu, and he does have to, ma'ik l'mema, then what are you going to say? You don't have an example then of tashlumin for tuma, because Pesach Sheni is not really tashlumin. Pesach Sheni, according to that, would be more like the way we're saying about the Chagiga over here. You have an independent chiyuv to bring Pesach Sheni. However, if you brought Pesach Rishon, then you're potter from bringing Pesach Sheni. But it's not a matter of tashlumin then. So then, where do we have an example that you have tashlumin for tumah that Rabbi Yochanan should be saying that tumah is different than chiyur? Ela, Amar Rav Papa. So rather, Rav Papa says we have to understand Rabbi Yochanan differently. Kasavar, Rabbi Yochanan, laila ena mechusar zman. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the fact that he became tumah by night is not considered mechusar zman. In other words, if he had become tumah, if let's say he had become tumah on the seventh day, so after he finished with being sprinkled with parah aduma water, he became tomei again on that same day. No question that he could bring one set of korbanos tuma and cover both of his tumas of nazir, and then start over as nazirus, because he was mechusar zman. He was before the time he can bring his korbanos yet, because he only brings his korbanos on the eighth day. But in our case over here, where he became tomei on the eighth, on the night going into the eighth, Rabbi Yochanan holds that's not considered mechusar zman. The fact is he is already chayav to bring his korbanos because the 7 days are over and he's completely tahor. The only thing preventing him is the fact that you don't bring korbanos at night. So therefore, that's not called that he's mechusar zman. Therefore, it's considered that his entire time of tumah was over, and now when he becomes tameh again, the nazir, then he's going to have to bring another korban. As opposed to the chigur b'yom rishon, when he was lame on the first day of Yom Tov, then there was no chiyuv of re'iyah on him on that first day. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, so it's not a matter of mechusar zman, it's a fact that he had no chiyuv at all on that at that point, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan is going to say he's potter the rest of Yom Tov. So now the question is, mi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi? Did Rabbi Yochanan really say that what happens at nighttime is not considered mechusar zman? Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say about another case involving tumah? Namely, you have a zav. So a person becomes a zav, so he has to count 7 clean days, then he tovels, then he has a head of shemesh, and the next day, the eighth day, he brings korbanos. So in that sense, he's similar to a nazir who goes through 7 days, he's similar to a nazir tumah. He goes through 7 days of tumah, and then he brings his korbanos on the eighth day. The difference is that a nazir during those 7 days is being sprinkled with parah aduma water. The zav during those 7 days is counting them as clean days and making sure that he doesn't have any ziva on those days. So now, similar kind of thing, a zav could bring one korban to cover many zivos, but only if the zivos were all during the same period. So Rabbi Yochanan said, suppose that the Zav had one emission by night and the next two by day. So in other words, we're talking about he went through his 7 clean days. Now, at the end, he went to the mikveh, he had a head of shemesh. Now, the night following the 7th day, he had one Re'iyah. And then the 8th day, and then during the morning of the 8th day, he had 2 more Re'iyahs. Maybe Stein. Then he would have to bring 2 separate korbanos for his separate zivos, one for the first one and one for this new one that happened after the first one had ended. Ra achas b'layla, Stein b'yoyim, maybe, then he has to bring a separate korban. Stein b'layla b'achas b'yoyim, but if he had 2 emissions of ziva by night and 1 by day, ene maybe, then he does not have to bring a separate korban. Now, why would he not have to bring a separate korban in that second case? Because the one time is not enough to make him a zav. One time makes him, in effect, only like a balkeri. It takes 2 or more re'iyas to make him a zav. So therefore, if he saw only 1 re'iyah by night, then as the Gemara is going to explain in a second, as Rabbi Yosef explains the reason in Masech Tekrisus, because his first Re'iyah anyway doesn't make him a Zav. His first Re'iyah makes him, in effect, only a Balkeri. So only when he has the other ones, only then do they combine together, because they were all on one day. But if he had two of them on at the night, then that already makes him a Zav. And the fact is, by night, he's not yet Roy to bring his Karbonis, because he can only bring his Karbonis the morning of the 8th. So it's still considered one long Tumah, and he would only bring one Karbon. So you see that... If Rabbi Yochanan holds that Laila lav mechusas man, that Laila ain't mechusas man, that the fact that it's already the nighttime, it doesn't matter, even though he can't bring his karbanis yet because it's nighttime, doesn't matter, his days of tumah are over, and therefore this is a new thing, then after the shtayim b'layla v'achas v'yayim, maybe, then he should have to bring a new karban regardless. Because either way, even if he had two re'iyas on the night of the eighth, on the night following the seventh, going into the eighth day, if Rabbi Yochanan holds Laila in a Mechusas Man, then it means he's already past the time of his Tumah. He's already in the time that is Roy for Korbanos, except that you don't bring Korbanos at night, and therefore he should be obligated to bring a separate Korban. And yet Rabbi Yochanan is saying that not, implying that he holds that Laila is Mechusas Man, that only if he has these Re'iyas on the morning of the 8th, then he has to bring a separate Korban. Which would mean, okay, if he had one Re'iyah by night, then fine. Like we said, Rabbi Yosef explains in the Gemara over there in Chrysos that one anyway doesn't make him a Zav, it only makes him a Baal Kevi. The answer is, Kika Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Divra Ha'im Alayla Mechusas Man. You know what? Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan is not saying what he himself holds. Rabbi Yochanan is explaining what would happen according to the opinion that Laila Mechusas Man, then the result would be that if he has two Re'iyahs by night, then he would have to bring a separate Korban. But Rabbi Yochanan himself would hold Laila Einam Mechusas Man, as we said before, and therefore that even if he had two Re'iyahs by night, he's not bringing a separate Korban, because by night is not yet a time when he's Roy for the Korbanos. Well, of course, if you say Laila Mechusas Man, then he has to bring a separate Korban. So then what's Rabbi Yochanan's Chiddush? The answer is Shtayim Bayoyim Ba'achas Ba'Laila, it's Tzurichalei. Fine, but the chiddush of what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that even if he had one re'iyah by night, that if he had one re'iyah by night and two by day, that we say that he would have to bring a separate korban. That is a chiddush because sakrat chamina kaskafta did of shisha bread did of idi. Because like this, in the Gemara in Chrysos, where it mentions this din about the re'iyas after the 7 days, then you have as follows. Rabbi Yosef says the reason that we just said, because since the Zav's first re'iyah doesn't make him a Zav, it only makes him a Baal Keri, then therefore you can't really say that he had a re'iyah during the time yet when he's Roy to bring the Korbanos, or during the time before he was Roy to bring the Korbanos, rather. Therefore, the other two of the morning, which is already when he could have brought his Korbanos, those two are going to combine with that first one. Even though the first one was during the time when he's not yet ready to bring his Korbanos, and we would say Laila Mechusas Man, but one is not enough to do that. That was Rabbi Yosef's explanation. Now, Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi asked on that and said that, so he says, what do you mean? The fact of the matter is he didn't have all these re'iyas during the period covered by the original korban. So if we held like Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi, then we would say that even if he had the re'iyas, even if he had one re'iyah by night, then we would say already that even if he had one re'iyah by night and two by day, we might say he doesn't bring a separate korban, because it's true the first one makes him only a Baal Keri, but Rav Shisha Breder of Idi asks on that and says the fact of the matter is when a Zav has three re'iyahs, usually they're all in a time that would make him chayav for a korban. But here, he has the first one was during the time that still is covered by the previous korban because Laila Mechusas Man. So why should it combine with the other two? So according to Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi, it would not combine. And you would say the person does not have to bring a separate korban. So therefore, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan wants to tell us. Kamash Malan, Kirab Yosef, he wants to tell us, no, the halacha is like, even if we say Laila Mechusar's man, which Rabbi Yochanan himself disagrees with, nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef's explanation still holds that the reason we don't consider one Re'iyah by night to be Mechusar's man is because one Re'iyah is not enough to make him a Zav anyway. So therefore, it's able to combine with the other two, which took place by day. And by day already, of course, is not Mechusar's man, because by day he could have been bringing his Karbanos already. So we're left with then that Rabbi Yochanan himself can still hold that Laila Lav Mechusar's man, and therefore he can say that. So in the case of the Nazir who became Tomei, after his 7 days, Rabbi Yochanan can say that it's true that it was after the 7 days, but he's already once the night begins, then he's already in the period that's not covered by the old karbanos anymore. Therefore, he's going to have to bring a separate karban. On the other hand, by chagiga, you don't have that, because then it's a separate matter. The first day he was potter, having been lame on the first day. And as far as the case of the Zav, Rabbi Yochanan would hold that he himself holds Laila Lav Mechusar's man. Therefore, he would say that regardless how many Re'iyas were by night and how many the next day, either way, he's always bringing a separate carbon. Whereas even if we say Laila Mechusar's man, then we would still say that that one Re'iyah by night and two the following day is not enough to be considered a continuation of the previous one, because one re'iyah is only enough to make him a zav. Okay. The Mishnah continued, if the yomtiv passed, the entire yomtiv, the 7 days of Pesach or the 8 days of Sukkot, and he didn't bring his so he said he's not responsible for it. In other words, he still has the animal around, he still has to bring it as a carbon, but he's not responsible to make up for it if he didn't. And the Mishnah had said, this is what the pasuk means when it says a crooked thing can never be fixed and a missing thing can never be counted. So the Gemara says, Omale bar hehe lehilo. Bar hehe, which is the Bapashtus, the same as the Ben Hehe of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, asked Hillel. Now, on the face of it, we mean Hillel, the famous Hillel Azokin. And Ben Hehe then would be a contemporary of his. However, Tobas Tanoim Ramaroyim points out that since further down on the Amud, we have, it says something about Bar Hehe or Ba'amilo, others say Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Lazar is definitely an Amoda, that may imply that this Bar Hehe over here is an Amoda, and that would mean then that the Hillel we're talking about is not. First of all, then it might mean it's not the same as the Ben Hehe of the Mishnah then, because if he's an Amora, obviously he doesn't belong in the Mishnah. But another point would also be that it means that the Hillel then might not be Hillel HaZaken. It might actually be Hillel, the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the brother of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Anyway, so Bar Hehe asks him, why do you have the name Bar Hehe? Tosfos brings that we have him in Pirkei Avos, the end of Perakei, we have him together with Ben Bagbag. So you have, Tosfos says that Yesh Mefroshim, that they were Gerim. So he's called Bar Hehe because of the hay that was added to Avraham's name and the hay that was added to Sarah's name, because a Ger is the son of Avraham and Sarah. Then Bagbag would be called that because Bag, Beis Gimel, is Gematria Hay. Different explanation, actually, is Ben Bagbag is called that because Bagbag stands for Ben Ger Ben Giyotis. And there's an explanation that it says that what happened was that as we're saying, these two were Gerim, and the Romans would, if they found out that they were Gerim, would persecute them and do who knows what for them. Therefore, they had to go by aliases, and therefore those are the aliases they chose. Anyway, so he asks Hillel, what do you mean the pasuk says b'chestrin b'yuchal lehimonas? A missing thing can't be counted. Hi, lehimonas? What do you mean to count it? You don't mention something that's missing and talk about it not being able to be counted. The expected word in the pasuk would be that it can't be filled in. Something missing, the opposite of missing is filled in. So in other words, you miss doing a mitzvah, you can't fill it in. So why the word lehimonos? Ella, so rather it means, so maybe it means Bar Hehe came up with this explanation himself, maybe it means that he'll explain it to him. Zesh minuhu chavero v'var mitzvah means when his friends are counting him towards a bar mitzvah, so they're all going to do a mitzvah, and they ask him to come along with them, and he doesn't, Vahula Nimneiman, he doesn't come and join in the count with them. So now, Lo Yuchal Himonis, he can't be counted in that minion because they already accomplished the mitzvah. The Gemara says, Tani Nami Kochi, we learn similarly in Braisa, when it says, Mu'uvas Lo Yuchal Liskun, when it says a crooked thing can't be made straight, Zesh Abitur Krishma Shal Shachmas, Oi Krishma Shal Arvis, Oi Shabitur Tfilah Shal Shachmas, Oi Tfilah Shal Arvis. It means where a person was mevatel and did not say Krishma in the morning or in the evening, or Shemana Esrei in Shachris or in Ma'ariv. Tosfos discusses over here that isn't Tfilas Avis Rishus, and the answer is Tfilas Avis may be Rishus. The halacha is that it is, but it doesn't mean that you can just casually ignore it. It means if you have a divine mitzvah, then you don't have to daven Ma'ariv. But otherwise, if you have a little bit of an onus, so a divine mitzvah is something, then that's a valid excuse to skip Ma'ariv, but otherwise not. Now, of course, it applies equally well to a person who misses mincha as well. Marsha explained that, first of all, by mincha, you don't have shema. So since we're mentioning shema, then we're mentioning shachris and ma'ariv. But, of course, the same thing would apply to mincha. Also, he says, the greater chiddush is, if a person misses shachris or ma'ariv, we know that if a person misses a tefillah by mistake, then he can make it up by the next tefillah. So therefore, so shachris, it comes out, he's still making it up on the same day by mincha. Might have, he's making it up on the same day by Shachris, because the day begins the previous night. But when a person misses Mincha, he's making it up the following day. So there's less of a chiddush in that. You would think a person says, I missed Shachris, big deal. At least I'm making it up on the same day. But nevertheless, we're saying that no, because he deliberately failed to do it, therefore he doesn't have tashlomin for it, and therefore he missed that mitzvah, and there's no doing it up, and there's no making it up. So that's the Mu'uvas Lo Yuchal Liskun, the Braisa says, the Chesrin Lo Yuchal Imonis, and when it says a missing thing cannot be counted, that means, like Bar Hehe explained, Zesh Nimnu Chaveru, the Bar Mitzvah Vuhulay Nimnei Mon, means that his friends are going together to do a mitzvah, and he does not join together with them, so the mitzvah got accomplished, but he was not part of that group that did that mitzvah. All right, since we're talking about something that Bar Hehe asked Hillel, so the Gemara brings another thing that he asked, a couple of other things that he discussed with him. Omale Bar Hehe Lehillel, my dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk, b'shavdim r'isem bein sadik l'rasha, you will return, and this is talking about in particular, l'osid l'avoy, you will go and you'll see, bein sadik l'rasha, the difference between the tzadik and the rasha, bein oved elekim l'asher l'yavodoy, you'll see the difference between the one who served Hashem and the one who did not serve him. So the question is, isn't it repetitive? Hainu tzaddik, hainu oved elokim, hainu rasha, hainu asher le'avodei. Isn't it the same thing? A tzaddik is somebody who serves Hashem, a rasha is somebody who doesn't serve Hashem. Omalei, so Hillel answers him, no. Avodei, v'loy avodei, tarvayu tzaddiki gmuri ninu. Both the one who serves Hashem and the one who doesn't are both tzaddikim gmurim. But what it means is avodei, avodah means that he goes beyond his normal avodah and serves Hashem extra. Whereas loy avodah means he doesn't do any special avodah. He does everything that he's supposed to, but he doesn't go above and beyond. So Hillel says the famous expression, the ena doma shoyna pirkei meya pamim l'shoyna pirkei meya ve'echad. It's not comparable when a person learns what he learned 100 times versus 101 times. So the fact that he does, so even though they're both tzaddikim, one is avodai more than the other. On the side of it, here it brings, and the Maharsha also brings this, that the words oved elekim lasher, the Rosh HaTevis of them, ayin, aleph, and lamed, add up to 101, and the words loy avodai have the initials of them add up to 100, lamed and ayin. So therefore, so that's the oved elekim and lasher loy avodai. The Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, in Perek Tesvav, that as the Gemara is going to, as we're going to see now from the mashal that the Gemara gives, the 101 is going above and beyond the normal. The normal way was that everybody would review their learning 100 times. So when a person does that, he's just doing the usual thing. So then he may be a tzaddik gomer, but he's not an oved Hashem. He's not going above and beyond to do beyond the normal. He's just doing his regular hergel. He's just doing his regular regilus. Whereas when he does 101, then he's doing something above and beyond. Then he's doing something special. So therefore, he's called Oved Elokim. That he's Oved, that he's working on himself to go beyond his normal things. Maharsha explains over here that 100 is, he relates 100 to the 100 brachas that a person says every day. So therefore, that has to do with a person's nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And then the one goes beyond that, and the one goes to a whole nother higher level. And therefore, he's considered an Oved Elokim. In a similar vein, the Alter Rebbe discusses in a Maimer in Lakut Torah that 100 represents the gedder of this world, and it's a level at which you can still have yunika for chitzoinim, whereas 101 is a level completely beyond that, because then you bring in the echad, you bring in the yichidah shel olam, and then you're at a level where there's not even any room for chitzoinim. So it's a whole different level of avoda. There's a very interesting idea also that's brought from the Kli Yoker in this connection. He says, you look at the gematria, the word shochach, which means to forget, has a gematria of 328. The gematria of zocher, which means to remember, has a gematria of 227. 328 minus 227 equals 101. So if you really want to remember, if you really want to have zocher and not shochach, then you're going to review your learning 101 times, which is what the Gemara is saying over here, that you review it 101 times, and that way you're extra sure that you're not going to forget it. So that's called the Oved Elokim. So Barhehe asks, what are you telling me? Because he didn't do the one extra time, therefore he's called Lo Yavodai, that he didn't serve Hashem. So Hillel tells him, yeah, go look at how they do in the where they rent out donkeys, where a person rents a donkey to go on a trip. Asara parasi bezuza, you want to rent a donkey for a trip of 10 parasa, then you're going to pay him one zuz. Chad osa parasi betrezuli, you want to go one extra parasa, you're paying a whole extra zuz, because it's a special order. So the same way, in other words, as the Alter Rebbe explains there in Tanya, you're going beyond your regilus, you're going beyond your normal way of doing things in order to serve Hashem extra, therefore you get the exalted title of Oved Hashem for that. And therefore a person misses that out, so fine, he's still a tzaddik. He's going on the donkey, but he's only going on the regular trip rather than the special trip. Another thing involving Barhehe, Omale Eliyahu le Barhehe va'amilo le Rabbi Lazar. Eliyahu says to Barhehe, or some say he said it to Rabbi Lazar, which is why we said before that this Barhehe apparently is an Amora, if we're saying that he may have been in the same generation as Rabbi Lazar. Anyway, my dichtiv, what does it mean, apostate? Hine tzrafticha v'loy v'chosef. Hashem says to the Jewish people, I have refined you, but not with silver. In other words, I haven't refined you with fire the way that you refine silver. B'charticha b'kur oini, I have chosen you, I've made you special in the crucible of poverty. A kur, a crucible, is a large pot, a large container in which you refine metal. So Hashem is saying that I refined you in the refinery of poverty. So what does that mean? Melamed shechozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu for midas tovus litten leYisrael means that Hashem was looking around among all the other good midas to give to the Jewish people. V'leimotze el anius, and the one that he found most effective is anius, is poverty. One reason for that is because we unfortunately find a lot of times in Jewish history by Yishman, Yishur, and Rayiva that people, Rabbi Hananel mentions over here, unfortunately, many times in Jewish history, we see that we become rich and successful and all, and then we end up throwing off all the power of Yiddishkeit. So therefore, Hashem found that poverty is the best way to keep things going well and to keep us on the straight path. With that said, there are a number of places in the Siddur that talk about that the poverty over here doesn't necessarily have to mean physical poverty. Historically, most of the time, it was true. But it doesn't have to. It can mean instead a bittul to elikus. So if a person has that sense of bittul, then they don't need physical poverty. Amar Shmuel v'Tamer of Yosef, Hainu da'amri inchi. This is like the expression that people say, Yor ani yusel yehudoi ki barza sumka l'chsus yechivra. Poverty befits the Jewish people the way that a red ribbon befits a white horse. So in other words, just like you decorate a white horse by putting on it a red ribbon, the same way the Jewish people are decorated by having the sanius, that it befits them. Tosfos brings a similar expression from a medrash. So what's the comparison of red and white? So Marsha says one thing is, we know that white always represents forgiveness of Averis. Red always represents the Averis themselves. So we're saying poverty in and of itself is not such a good thing. But on the other hand, when it has the positive effect that it whitens our Averis and cleans up and prevents us from doing Averis in the first place, then it can be a good thing, like when you decorate a horse with a white, like when you decorate a horse with a red ribbon. So the red is enhancing the white in the same way that poverty enhances the goodness of a yid, we're saying. There is an interesting explanation that they say on this in the name of they bring it in the name of the Chozim Lublin and in the name of others, that the vote is like this. When do you decorate a horse with a ribbon like that? Not when you have it back home in the barn. Only when you're taking it to the marketplace to sell. So it's something when you want to show off to the public, you show it off with a red ribbon. The same way, what we're saying over here is that poverty is when the Jewish people are in the presence of the goyim, then they should be poor in the sight of the goyim, so that the goyim don't get jealous of them. But in the privacy of their own houses, by all means, a yid should not be poor. It's only right that a yid should be rich and have plenty of riches and have plenty of resources and have plenty of resources in Gashmias to be able to serve the Eibishter with. But in the eyes of the goyim, in order not to make them jealous and then provoke them, then a yid should appear as poor. They say a similar vote on that also, that I think the Kli Yoker brings it on a pasuk in Chumash Devarim, when it says Moshe tells the Jewish people, "Tnu lachem tzafoina, go head northward," which means, in other words, you're leaving House Sinai, head northward towards Eretz Yisrael. But he mentions to them, you're passing by the lands of Edom. So it also means, "Tnu lachem tzafoina, malachem tzafon," when you're around Edom, hide your wealth, don't flaunt it in front of them. So that's the same similar idea as we're saying over here, that the wealth should be kept inside but not flaunted in the eyes of the guy. Okay. Shukriya, everyone.